Sunni militants were able to claim vast swaths of Iraq last month, largely because the Iraqi army collapsed. 3 weeks later, the army has won back some territory. That came after a call to arms by Shiite religious leaders in the holy city of Najaf. NPR's Alice Fordham visited the ancient, sprawling cemetery there and reports on the deep emotion and symbolism fueling the Shiite response.
The Valley of Peace Cemetery seems crowded. Miles of desert stretch under blistering sun, the gilded domes of mausoleums pressed up against the dusty headstones of the ordinary dead. It's here that Shiite Muslims traditionally bury their loved ones. And as crowded as it is, more bodies are flooding in these days. Young men with flags draped over their coffins to show they just died in battle. Mohsin El-Awersi speaks to me as his cousin's body is ceremonially washed.
He was a youth, not married, 20 years old, from a special forces battalion in Mosul. They withdrew to Samarra. At a checkpoint there, he was hit with a mortar round and died with one or two others.
As the women weep and pray, the male relatives cluster round to say they've been to many soldiers' funerals recently and they'll go to many more until Sunni militants trying to take over the country are pushed out.
Even though he died, all of us are ready to volunteer.
About a month ago, Iraq's armed forces were collapsing. Maybe a third of the army fled as Sunni fighters led by extremists seized swaths of territory. But now, tens of thousands of men are volunteering, swearing to fight and die for their country. The army can now push back in some places, like the city of Tikrit. The mourners say they're proud.
The Iraqi army is making progress. I hear they've liberated Tikrit this morning.
The key to this turnaround lies not with military commanders or politicians, but here in the quiet city of Najaf, where Shiite clerics hold court around a golden shrine. When the army fell apart, the most eminent cleric, Grand Ayatollah Ali al-Sistani, called on men to fight. In doing so, he broke with Iraqi tradition that religious leaders stay out of politics. One younger cleric, Ali al-Najafi, explains Sistani was forced to intervene because the military is ineffective and political leaders uninspiring.
They were not prepared to thwart this attack. It became evident that there were two problems, a problem with organization and a problem with morale. The soldier or the fighter couldn't find the right motive to stand strong and fight.
Najafi hints that Iraq's highly paid politicians are depraved, like Saddam Hussein, whereas the clerics are like him. He receives me in a simple whitewashed office where he's giving advice to a visiting woman. People respect the clergy, so they responded to the call to fight. But he knows there's a risk that a call coming from the Shiite establishment could be used as a justification for the sectarian slaughter of Sunnis.
Yes, there is concern that this situation will be taken advantage of to fuel the sectarian crisis. And we are making a great effort, and even giving our blood, to make sure this division does not come to Iraq.
Najafi says Shiite clerics are reaching out to Sunni ones and stressing to fighters that it's just as important to defend Sunni areas. But in reality, the recruitment drive does have sectarian overtones. Many men have joined not the army, but irregular Shiite militias. In the heart of the graveyard, the flag of one such militia flutters in a roasting desert wind. Each armed group has its own space here. In one of them, the wind peels up the corners of posters held down with bricks on new graves. In another, two fresh mounds lie side by side. Each grave has pictures on it of Shiite shrines, the Shiite imams Ali and Hussein, Shiite ayatollahs from Iran. Salah al-Muhammad sobs as he washes his brother's grave in rose water and burns incense. He died fighting in Syria with the Asa'ib al-Haq Shiite militia, defending a Shiite shrine. Now, Muhammad is joining the army.
Just 40 days ago, I lost my brother, but now I've volunteered too. When the clerics called us to volunteer, we did.
Despite the best efforts of clerics and politicians to paint the battle as patriotic and non-sectarian, Muhammad sees things in starkly Shiite terms. He says he's going to fight for the Shiite imams, and he calls the mainly Sunni insurgency infidels. Alongside freshly filled graves are three more, still empty. The bodies will come soon, say the gravediggers. There's space in the plot for many more. Alice Fordham, NPR News.